Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What's up, you guys? I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Brooks.
And welcome to the Know For Sure podcast.
Do you know for sure?
Do you?
I'm pretty sure I know for sure, but this podcast is going to help us know.
Okay, you guys, we're back with another episode. What's up, KFS fam? It's your girl, B. Simone.
And it's Megan Ashley.
And we're back.
What's the remix? Like, maybe because I just biggity, did biggity. Something new.
No.
And who told you you could take my blanket?
And sit in your spot. It's y'all know we bulk shoot, so we done shot a few episodes today. I'm trying to switch it up. Keep y'all on the edge of y'all seats.
They're not on the edge.
They like, but you done had this same ponytail for 4 weeks. We get it. Take that damn wig off. No.
Ain't no wig
off. It's really the same day.
So I obviously we're still in LA.
You're still in LA. Thanks,
Ash. Thanks,
Ash. Thank you.
A little bit of water.
A little bit of water. Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
I got kombucha.
You need a water?
Do you want something to drink?
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. We have a guest today.
A very, very, very special guest. Very I'm excited.
Yeah.
You better not. Braylon?
Sorry.
She knows me so well. I didn't do it.
Wow. Anytime you see a black person lift their
cheek up.
It's when it's like that lean up and over.
I have guests.
They're getting ready to blow up.
She said, Braylon, I had to lift the right cheek up. Because let me tell you
why. My blanket though.
What about what's the fun fact about my farts? Say it. Say it in the mic.
They don't stink.
Woo! You know me. My gas don't stink. So if I ever farted around you, you wouldn't even know it unless I lift that leg up. But it's been a long day.
It's been a long day.
And I'm gassy. But we're here. I'm excited. We still got the vibes going, the good energy. KFS fam, thank you for being here. Welcome back to another episode. If you are a new viewer and you have never heard or watched this episode, our podcast is all about relationships, healing, growing, evolving. And we are best friends of 20 years. My girl.
It's like,
all right.
You know how they say, like, you are the company you keep.
It's like, am I weird,
so it's like,
dude?
Is it me?
Yes. Yeah.
You are a reflection of me.
Yep. And you, yeah. You crazy, too. And wow. Weird.
I was like, you got to do some assessment. Figure out what's going on with you.
Figure out what's going on with you, with your spirit. You got me acting crazy.
It's like, what about me attracted all that foolishness over there?
What is it about me that got
that
you?
Got you to be my best friend.
Aww.
You're so annoying. Anyway, KFS fam, we're back, and we have a special guest.
Special, man.
With so us special. Today. So I'm going to let you introduce our guest.
Okay, the infamous. All right, you know all that. Whoo, Hollywood writer, baby. We have Kendra here, and y'all might not know her, but I'm going to tell you, you need to know her, okay? Thank you for being here, Kendra.
Oh, thank you.
You're so okay, cute. So how do you know Kendra? That,
I know,
like, you
I know,
need to
I know.
Tell them,
like, who is she? How do
Kendra?
I know her? Okay.
And then, yeah.
Let's talk about it. So, you guys, I know Kendra because she is a writer. How did we initially meet?
Oh, wow. We didn't even meet. We were actually texting
each
other.
But how did you get my number?
from Brittany.
Who is Brittany?
Brittany Hall.
And why is she giving out my number?
Well, no, she didn't give it out.
Oh, Brittany Hall. Okay, yeah, okay, okay. I was okay, doing okay, the okay, short. Got you.
And we needed the lead. And I was like, oh my God, B. Simone would be great.
She's
like,
have her contact. Yeah, she was looking for a lead. So she is a writer. She writes stories. She's a creator. Mm-hmm. She produces, directs. Mm-hmm. And we met through the industry mm-hmm. with writing. She was looking for a character. This was years ago, mm-hmm. 2 years ago. She texts me. Mm.
2017, I think.
She texts me.
You were going to China. That's the only reason why you didn't do it.
Wow. So like, it had to be 2018, 2017 or something. Going to China. I couldn't do it. She was like, I'll just keep your number for future reference, right? Fast forward to what? February? Or
the end of last year.
Yeah, the end of last year. I get a text. Her name pops up. Kendra Joe, producer or writer or however I saved you in my phone. I don't remember. She's like, there's this show and I wrote this show and I want you to audition for it. Like, you know, and they sent me all this stuff. I had an audition and no, did I have two auditions?
Yeah.
I had two auditions. Yep. The first one, it went really, really good. I don't think everybody was on there though.
No, you actually did it in the middle of your stand-up tour. Which was impressive to me because I was like,
I remember that.
Wow.
How the hell is she doing this in the middle of her tour?
Yeah.
And I think that also impressed everybody because they were like, wait, what? And I was like, yeah.
I was so nervous. Mm-hmm. I had to learn these lines. Y'all, let me tell y'all. I don't know if you know this, but. Oh, sure. Thanks. So during, I'm going to get to how we know her, whatever. But I had this audition. And y'all, when you're auditioning, it's virtual. So you have your laptop up, you have your camera, whatever, but you have to learn these lines. You don't want to focus on the lines because you want to focus on the character. Mm-hmm. So I was like, if I just, behind the laptop, if I take the lines, mm-hmm. like I can just, you know.
As a reference.
Mm-hmm. The moment my audition start, the paper fail.
God said.
What?
The paper fail. I was like, shh. and I killed it, but it was just like, trust yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, the paper fail. That was just a funny story. You never did that. But I had the lines like taped up because it's a virtual audition. So, you know, you can try to finesse it. They can't see that. But I did that audition and then I had my second audition.
Yeah.
I was so nervous. It was a chemistry read. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to see how I was with these other characters. And I was auditioning for this show called Finding Happy, written by her. Mm-hmm. All these beautiful Black women directors, produced by Cedric the Entertainer's production mm-hmm. company. And I was going to have the opportunity to be the lead role in this show. And mm-hmm. I really, really wanted this role. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. it was just different. I knew it was something I had never did. It was going to mm-hmm. push me. And I'm like, this is like, I said, I wanted to act. Like, this is dope. I want to do this. I really want this role. We did the chemistry read. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, kind of to vet the other guys. Or who did I do the chemistry read with?
You did it with Marquita for Jamila.
Oh, Marquita.
Because you all were sister cousins. So yes. There really has to be a connection mm-hmm. between
So in the show, Marquita is like my Megan.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. my best friend. And they wanted us to read together before I got the role to see our chemistry on camera. And Marquita was so nice. She let me call her like a couple hours before the audition. And we went, because she already had the role. Mm-hmm. She was like, they trying to see if you go with me. Right. I already got the role, you know. So she took time out of her day. And I was like, can I please take, you know. And we went over the lines on FaceTime. She was like, girl, you got it. Like, mm-hmm. this is organic. You got it. I knew the line. We did it a couple times. Y'all had notes for me the first time. Mm-hmm. I think there was like a change or something y'all wanted me to do. Y'all shifted it. I was like, okay. I did it again. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know if it was weeks later, days later, whatever. I got that call. They were like, you're yes.
Yes.
Oh, I was boo-hooing. I called you crying. Mm-hmm. I FaceTimed Megan as soon as I got it. My agent called me and I got it. But that is how I know Kendra. She really believed in me and pushed for me to get that audition. Mm-hmm. Like, just the audition.
Absolutely.
She's like, I want you to audition. I already believe you're our yes, but at least get the audition. Now, what you do in that audition is on you, but she mm-hmm. fought for me to have that opportunity, and she was the writer behind the show, Finding Happy, which airs on Bounce Network September 24th. Absolutely. You guys.
Yay. I'm so excited.
So, you know, I wanted to bring her on the show. This week, the show airs on the Bounce Network. And before we talk about the story, Finding Happy, and what that story mm-hmm. meant to you, like, that was like your true testimony of literally a Black woman in the industry, dating, finding her happy. Mm-hmm. I want to know like more about you and who Kendra is like before the successful writer. Because you are a successful writer in Hollywood now, but I know we talked a little bit on, you know, on set behind the scenes about like, you weren't always there. And there was a point where you felt like you weren't going to make it out of that.
Yeah. I don't think I hate to say this, but I think it's always going to be a journey.
I don't think
I've arrived.
Or
ever will arrive. Because this was an assignment for me. This wasn't something that I was like, you know, when I was a little girl, I always went, like God called me to this. And so it's almost like every day it's like trying on shoes. Like, does this fit? Like, is this, like you know? Or outfit, like, is this
No, I'll take this off. No, not another shirt.
You know? And it forever keeps me in a place of being surrendered to him. You know? I don't, if God says it's time to move, and then I'm like, okay, it's time for me to go. I don't care who's there. I don't care what big name is attached. If God is saying, hey, it's time for you to move on, then that's what I'm doing. Because I came from a really small town in Virginia. I'm a country girl at heart. You know? I'm from a place where you can count the number of traffic lights on two hands, probably. Everybody knows everybody. You can say your last name, like, oh yeah, I know your people.
I know you. I know
I'm gonna tell your daddy. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. They will call you out anywhere. It didn't matter. And so, you know, coming into this situation, it was purely.
Now, are you talking about the? I'm sorry, this situation as far as finding happy or just writing in general?
Just writing in general. I was a kid who grew up in a place that didn't look like the world I used to watch on television. So I really gravitated to like all these stories and people like Blossom and Punky Brewster. I'm like, oh my God, I love them, you know? And I used to write in school, like fifth grade, but write stories by hand back in the day when you get loose leaf paper and write it and get ink all on your hands. Like that Bic pen was my favorite thing in the world. And I used to write them and staple them because I was a huge fan of Judy Blume. Oh my God. I was reading, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Like it was like,
I don't want to interrupt you, but me and Megan used to write.
We used to write stories.
Stories.
And it would during change of class periods. It was us and our friend Tiffany. So one period I would have it. And
you
I would
write to a certain point, and the next person would read it and pick up the story.
That is crazy.
So you didn't know.
We used to have folders. I mean, of paper.
Like, you might think it's going to go somewhere, but Megan would write something else. See? And then the next day, I would get it the next period, and then Tiffany would get it.
And that was so fun.
We just made it up. But, yeah, I love that you were creative in that way.
And God was planting that seed of storytelling in you. Such a young age, you know? But my friends used to swap, so I would be the one, like, exchange of periods. Yo, Kendra, let me get that that story you just wrote, you know? They, you know, was passing around
they
at
would
lunch.
Read it.
They were reading it.
Got you.
Friends were reading it. And I'm going to tell y'all, I was writing about what was going on where I was from, like girls getting pregnant, teen pregnancy. Like I was writing about all of that. Like what I saw. And then, you know, the vicissitudes of life happen. You kind of get, you know, distracted by the boys.
All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show. This episode of In Totality with Megan Ashley is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? No, seriously, really think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you. I've spoken a few times on this podcast about how therapy has really helped me on my journey, and it can certainly help you if you're thinking of starting therapy. Give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/totality today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality.
And now you start making your stories in real life. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have time to write, but I'm out here doing this.
Right.
So yeah, and then I went on to college, still was writing. Mm-hmm. But I was also doing open mic, like poetry, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
But then I just kind of like, it was a whole bunch of stuff that happened. Most of the time, it was a man involved. Mm-hmm. It was distracting. Mm-hmm. And
but you feel like men always distracted you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's where I get my stories from now. Mm-hmm. I think God was having me live life to have things
so you had
to be able to write
to
about.
Yeah.
And eventually, I mean, I don't know how deep you want me to go, but I ended up coming out here not because I wanted to be a writer, but because, you know, I wanted to get clean. I had I had got an addiction to Oxycontin and Percocet.
Mm.
When I, well, 2010, I had fibroids. Mm. And it started from like hydrocodone and Vicodin and stuff like that. And it just continued to just.
So what put you on pain medicine?
The fibroids.
And fibroids, for people don't know, do you want to explain what fibroids are? Because I feel like it's a common thing that women don't know the symptoms of.
Yeah.
And then they don't know that they have them.
Then it gets out of control.
Yeah.
Because fibroids, my mom had that.
Right? Yeah.
Fibroids, to get it removed.
Yeah.
Okay.
It started with a myomectomy, where they go in with an incision and take them. And basically, it's just like a growth. Mm-hmm. That, for mine, it was uterine. So it was inside of my uterus lining, mm-hmm. which was even worse because it's harder to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But they are a nightmare. Mm-hmm. For anyone that's ever went through it, and even if you haven't, very painful periods, very heavy mm-hmm. bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Just every time it was the first of the month, it was like, oof, I cannot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your doctor prescribed you pain pills because
after
of
surgery.
Course,
yeah, because you're in pain. Yeah, there's nothing.
Yeah.
You can
And
in my family, unfortunately, a lot of women, that's a genetic trait.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've been taking ibuprofen since you were about, what, middle school?
Mm-hmm.
What's the genetic trait? I'm sorry.
Like,
fibroids.
Got you.
Like, I don't, got you. So many women in my family, especially on my dad's side, have had hysterectomies.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot mm-hmm. of women.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you've been taking ibuprofen for so long, now you've developed this immunity to it.
It don't even work no more.
It don't even work.
Yeah.
It's like, child, this ain't doing nothing
to
this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the medicine had to get stronger, but mm-hmm. as a result of that, there lies the addiction,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I went through that silently for like 10 years.
Mm. Did the addiction start because of how you felt and you were trying to get away from your reality?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It then created, there's one thing I know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
when you sometimes the need to escape can come in many vices. And for me, it created a very euphoric. I was able to become happy, and I couldn't do it on my own. I remember one day I was in Forever 21 or H&M, I can't remember. And there were two girls who were shopping and they were laughing. And I remember crying. So I said, God, I don't even know how to make myself laugh like that anymore. Like, in order for me to do it, I got to take this pill. And it was, and I'm teaching. I'm doing all of this, being a mother, all of this. And I was so depressed. Mostly, I think my depression really started because of the hysterectomy, because I was so young.
Oh, so you ended up having a hysterectomy.
I did. Jesus. Yeah. And at the doctor, age? I think I was 30, what was it, 2000? I think I was 36.
And for people that don't, like me, I don't know exactly what is that.
A hysterectomy is they take your uterus.
You can
no longer
have it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And even 36.
That's young.
Doctors, like for me, I have issues with the lining of my uterus. I've had two surgeries now because I have cysts and polyps that grow in the lining of my uterus. And I had one doctor that was like, you just need to get a hysterectomy. It's just not gonna, like, this is,
you
not,
have to keep doing,
you don't
this.
Have a qual, you're not gonna have a quality of life, you're gonna have to have the surgery every year, you just need to get a hysterectomy. And even at 36, you said you were 36 when you, that's still early for doctors to take. You know what I'm saying? Because women can still have babies.
You're young.
10 decades after, you know what I'm saying? Decades after that. So that is a very traumatic. And when you take your uterus, what people also don't realize, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't had a hysterectomy, but when they take that, that's like ripping your hormones out of your body, and it could throw you, it does throw you off into menopause, right?
Balance. Well, if they take the if they take the ovaries, definitely go into menopause. But they, I kept my left ovary.
That, and that that helps.
Stay balanced.
But you're absolutely right, because I had already did the myomectomy surgery. They came back and they mastocyzed. They were like, "Oh, girl, you thought that was we about to come out with like our cousins and all the rest of us coming."
Crazy.
And it, it was so painful. Even sitting was painful. Like I would sneeze and I got to go change my pad. Like cough, laugh, like anything. It was, you couldn't manage your life that way. You know what I'm saying? And I had got to the point where I was on all kinds of medication to even stop it from coming, because it was just so, you know, it was hard to manage. But, and then I wasn't in a great relationship. It was just a whole lot. It was the perfect storm for a like hurricane for my life. Like, girl, you need these pills, baby, because you can't get those feelings on your own. You know what I'm saying?
So was it when you were going through the, when you were on pain medicine, did the addiction, do you feel like the addiction started because you started taking them even when you weren't in pain?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all. I experienced that. I don't have an addictive personality, I don't think, and that's why I was maybe able to stop it. But I definitely recognize that, because I have chronic back pain. And they prescribed me Percocets because the Vicodins weren't strong enough, so they upped it up to Percocets. And so then I was taking Percocets because my back was hurting so much. And then I remember taking it, and I wasn't in pain. I just liked the way it made me feel.
Like the relaxed feeling or what,
And so then doing that, like you said, you get to escape this
reality.
And now you're in this space of like forced euphoric, but it's not real.
It's not real.
And then when it fades, there's this like tragic crash. And the only way you know how to get back
is
up
to do it
is
again.
To take that pill. And I could easily see myself being like, because I remember being sad about something.
Girl, listen.
You know what I'm saying?
It ain't funny, but I know exactly what you're
and
saying.
And it's not, it's so easy to fall into. You know what I mean?
And just like we were talking about earlier, when we were like, everybody's addicted to something. Yeah. And what made us bring that up, because we were talking about, like, it's so easy to people like, she's a crackhead, or you're addicted to alcohol, yeah, or she's on that Percocets, on that lean, on that, you know, you calling all that out. But I'm going to tell them the story about when we were at Jeju, and I was in a relationship at the time. Mm-hmm. And this was like a year ago or whatever. We were at a spa. Me and Megan were at a spa. And I was in a relationship at the time, and something that bothered me, my ex now, about my ex was that he always drank. Mm-hmm. He was, in my mind, you know, the guy I was dating then, he was kind of a functioning, like, alcoholic. His body craved liquor. Had to have wine by the bed, had to always drink. He was just, he loved to drink, morning, noon, night. Wow. That bothered me, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I'm talking to her about it. We're at this spa. And we order rice and pasta, and we're just eating and talking and vibing and kicking it. And I'm like, that bothers me. Like, he needs to stop, like, basically, like, gossiping about my boyfriend at the time, saying he's alcoholic, right? Mm-hmm. And venting to my best friend about it. And after the conversation.
During the conversation.
During the conversation, we're eating, and I drop my fork, and I lean back, and I go, ooh, I'm so full. I always be overeating. And in that moment, I was literally like, you so worried about somebody else's vice.
Girl.
And you're addicted to food.
And you're addicted to food, baby.
Listen.
You can't stop eating until you feel like you're about to throw up. Mm-hmm. You literally venting to her about what bothers me and the guy I'm dating. And I'm like, you're addicted to carbs, baby. You got, I looked down at, we had
we
rice.
We had so much food.
Soup. Egg rolls.
I mean,
pasta.
No word. It was quite embarrassing.
Like, I was like, you're a fucking addict. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you sitting here worried about him? I didn't say nothing else to that man about his wine. I started pouring it. Wow. Go for it.
I get it.
That is the least of my worries. Yeah. You start worried about him being an alcoholic. What's the difference? Okay. Alcoholism. Okay. Diabetes. Obesity. Like, it's both, like,
everybody
is addicted
has
to something.
Yeah.
And when you see somebody going through that, don't be so quick to judge. What are you addicted to?
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
I came across this TED Talk, and this guy was basically saying anything that keeps you from dealing with your reality is an addiction.
It's an addiction. Absolutely.
Anything that you do that keeps you from actually dealing with your reality is an addiction, and it could be anything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be as, you know, maybe extreme as pills or drugs or anything like that. But it could be
social media.
Social media.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say that, like, what it opened my eyes to also was I was at a very low state in my life. Mm-hmm. I've done therapy since I can remember, since high school. But I feel like my relationship with God was a tad, you know, dysfunctional on my end, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I realized that my life had gotten kind of out of sorts, and I wasn't clear about who I was anymore. Mm. And I was super depressed. Mm. I was never a person who drank a lot, or I remember in college, I didn't drink or anything until I turned 21.
Yeah.
And my friends used to be like, girl, how you over here? We smoking weed and all that. Why you ain't, you know? And they were like, oh yeah, she got a natural. I say that all the time. And to be in that situation, it's crazy to say, I'm glad I went through it. Mm-hmm. Because what it did, I have such a compassion for people. Mm-hmm. I understand when your life gets to a place where you don't even know who you are anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you're doing all these things for other people, and you've lost yourself in such a way that even you would subject yourself to taking a pill to give you, 'cause that's what addiction does. It gives you the ability to access emotions that you're in such a low state.
You can't access them. Wow. Without that.
Wow. So even if it's temporary, if I drink or if I smoke or something, it's given me the power or the ability to be able to access that euphoria or whatever that, or escape that I need.
That you can't access in your right and, frame of mind.
Right, mm-hmm. but then it's doing more damage.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Which is creating another problem.
Of course.
On top of the issue that you already had.
Mm-hmm. How long did you go through?
It was
you said a lot of people didn't know. People yeah, never nobody. Knew anything.
Yeah, they didn't really know. But what mostly, I think it's funny though, because I remember one of my friends, and that's the reason why I really wanted to share it, because I had a friend who shared her, like, she was very vulnerable mm-hmm. and shared it on Facebook that she had this problem with pain pills. And I was like, oh my God.
Did you know?
No.
Oh, you didn't know? Okay.
You found out on Facebook.
I found out on Facebook like everybody else. Yeah. And okay. all the comments is like, oh my God. And then the TV show, Nurse Jackie. That show.
What show is that?
I haven't seen that.
On Showtime. It's not on there anymore.
Is it scripted?
It's scripted.
Okay.
Edie Falco from The Sopranos,
okay.
the wife on Sopranos.
Okay.
She plays a nurse who's addicted to opiates, basically. But she's an amazing nurse. And I saw how it, like, that's the power of storytelling. I saw how it affected her and her family. And it used to get on my nerves. Like, how could she do this? And I'm sitting going, girl, you're doing the same thing.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. And so it was then that I just said, God, if you get this, if you help me get over this, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Like, please. I remember being in the bathtub. I was praying. And I was like, God, I can't do it. Like, because it makes you very sick. It's almost, it's a similar derivative of heroin that people don't know that about, you know, opiates. It's the same opium, you know, it's but just in a different dosage, you know, of course. And I'm going to tell you, it's one of the hardest things to kick. It's
how long was your addiction?
It was like, it was almost about 10 years.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And how long did it take you to recover?
When I tell you, I literally left. So I went through this whole thing where God said, okay, you want me to get you out of this? He took everything from me. And when I say everything, he took everything. I had a job teaching. I got too sick to work because I was calling out because I'd had the hysterectomy and then I was having complications. So the principal was like, listen, the kids got to pass the test and you ain't here because you could. So I'm going to let just, I mean, I've never quit a job before.
Yeah.
Like always left with good, you know, ties and everything. And so I had to leave. Then my daughter and I are going to see one of my students, because I love my students still to this day, play volleyball. I'm in there watching her play volleyball in pain, by the way. And a woman comes running in. She says, oh my God, who has a gold Honda Accord? And I'm like, me. She's like, well, I hit your car when I was rushing to go to an interview. I get outside, ends up my car is total loss.
Jesus.
I'm like, what?
He was removing things one by one.
Listen, he's like, okay, you want me to whatever? Okay. It just so happened that summer we always have like a family vacation, all of my family, my extended family. And so and my brother had even said to me, my brother used to be a preacher. And my brother says to me, God must be doing something with you because he is taking you through it. And it was something else that happened. I forgot. But I remember I was at the beach because I always go to the water to talk to God. And I said, God, what are you doing? And he said to me, Exodus. So I'm like, Exodus?
I know.
I'm like, Exodus.
Ashley said, ooh.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, the word Exodus, okay, is that the book of the Bible or is it the word?
Lord.
And he's like, well, you know, Exodus means to exit, to leave.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So I go to my uncle who used to just travel the country hitchhiking, like just didn't care, would just leave and go. And so something said, go talk to him. So I go talk to him. And I said, can I ask you a question? I said, when you left, why did you leave? He said, because God told me to. And I was like, oh, okay. So it just so happens. One of my friends, so granted, at this time, I've left my job teaching. I left where, because I was living in Virginia Beach at the time. Go back home, because I don't have a job now. Don't have a car. And I'm dealing with this addiction in a way where I'm hating it. Like, God, please take it from me.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to stop doing it because, you know, physiologically, I am addicted to it.
Right. My body
like, it's
is
like
crazy.
Food. Yeah. It's like air.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm literally taking it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Two, six a day. Okay?
Jesus.
So I'm
that's
like,
strong.
Like, very much so.
Your body is just, you feel like you can't.
Oh, Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, your body becomes addicted. Literally, like, it has to have
I mean, you're getting the, like, yeah. if you don't.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And so, literally, one of my friends said she wanted to go to Aruba. And I said, okay, I'll go with you. I'm thinking exit is, like, go on a vacation. Mm-hmm.
You're like, exit for a week.
And then, you know. Yeah. And so, something had happened. Then it was like for a wedding or something. Mm-hmm. And she was like, it didn't work out, whatever. So I'm like, okay. Another friend of mine, her name is Heaven. She reaches out to me. She's in Long Beach. Now, I'm an East Coast girl through and through. Mm-hmm. I have never wanted to go to L.A. Like, please.
L.A.
Please. Biggie Bougie. All day. Mm-hmm. Y'all killed Biggie. I still got to grow.
West Coast, East Coast, okay, I still got beef.
Like, mm-mm. So she's like, you should come to Long Beach, just out of the blue. Mm. I'm like, this is somebody I just worked with for like,
right.
At a spa for like a couple of years. We were really cool.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to come. Mm-hmm. And I came. And this is, now y'all, I'm coming to visit. And so we're sitting in the diner. I get this Instagram message from Melody Asani. She's like, hey.
Can you tell me who that is?
So Melody Asani has a shop on Fairfax. Like street, urban, not urban. I should not say urban because mm-hmm. that's kind of disrespectful. But that like Fairfax shop. Fairfax, everybody knows. It's clothing? Like mm-hmm. Supreme. Okay, okay. Yeah. Okay. All of that. Okay. She's dope.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's
her dope. Sneakers, okay. Reebok. She gets dope. She,
okay.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
So when I tell you, she says, hey, because I'm going to tell y'all what God told me to do for 30 days. He said, draw and post it. Just draw. Because I'm an illustrator. Mm-hmm. He said, just draw. So I'm like, okay. So I draw and I post it. That sounds like so weird.
Yeah.
But when
yeah.
I say the Lord works in mysterious yeah. ways, he does. Yeah.
Yep.
And
yep.
so I'm doing it.
Megan says that all the time, though. Blindly. She's like, if God tells me to rake up these leaves,
do it.
She's like, I will just be raking the leaves.
Do it.
Until he tells me the next thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she finds me through the hashtag, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
And says, hey, do you live in LA? And I'm like, no. I'm visiting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, because I got this thing. I'm trying to do graphic tees. And I love your drawings. Could you come to the shop tomorrow? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? So I go, y'all. She's like, "Hey, do you want to intern and work on my graphic tee line?" What?
Wow. Mm-hmm. And she don't follow you. Y'all don't know nothing. Each other.
Just y'all,
she just found you.
Listen
on Instagram.
So let me tell you,
was the hashtag?
Right.
I'm like, yeah.
It was like 30 days of art, but I'm putting like hashtag illustrated, hashtag
artist,
this.
Hashtag
like,
Long
that's
Beach.
That's it.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Now, mind you, I've never said I want to be a screenwriter. I've never said these things, but these things exist within me.
Mm. Yeah.
And one thing that I asked God, I said, God, I want to love me the way you love me. I want to see me the way you see me because I don't see
at
that.
At all. That's crazy.
I don't. Like, it's, ooh, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's crazy.
So he brings me out here and gives me this gift he gave me comes back to give me new life. But let me tell you this. I meet with her manager at the time and he's like, hey, so we would need you to be here for a few months and work on it. I'm like, I'm from Emporia. Like, you know, I'm not okay. I go back home and my family, including my, they're like, what?
Mm-hmm. You, what are you doing? What are you talking
about?
You want
to know where? Yeah. What is wrong? Girl, she lost her mind. Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm like, no, God is telling me I need to go. And I come out to LA and for like, let me tell y'all something. I would never tell nobody to do what I did. I came to LA with $500. Mm-hmm. An Airbnb to stay with this lady until I came on a Wednesday. The Airbnb was done on Saturday. And all I had was my faith and $500. As soon as I touched down, I went to church that night. Because I was like, God brought me out here, then you're going to have to bring me through this.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
I get a place to stay on Friday. Stay with this girl. And I continue to do graphic design. But let me tell y'all how God works. He brought me out here as an introduction. Because I stayed from August to October. Mm-hmm. I walked everywhere. I took Metro. Mm-hmm. I saw people with less than me. You talking about the gratitude. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I saw not real addiction, but just seeing how it can take the mind, because Los Angeles homelessness is a little different, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. And even to this day, seeing it, it's very, it makes, I sometimes will cry.
Like to another level.
Yeah. Because you can tell that a lot of it is mental illness as a result of maybe drug use.
You know,
and just seeing the mind is just completely like broken.
In
a way. And just seeing that, seeing people dig through garbage, seeing, I almost got into it with a prostitute on the blue line, like, like just going through all of that allowed me to see God in all his glory, that these people are living amongst you in this foreign land. Like, that's how God uses you, when he takes you to a place where you don't have none of your, you ain't got no family,
nothing, nobody,
you ain't got no man, you ain't got nothing to, it's just you and him figuring
you're
it out.
You're exploring, basically.
And so the internship ended. I have to go back home. But also, my dad got sick, so I had to go home and take care of my dad. Then my mom had back surgery, so I came back and took care of her. The addiction comes back. I'm like, damn. So I find, it's crazy. Periscope. Social media does have some good. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Because then we got Instagram hooking me up with an intern. And then Periscope comes and completely, when I say God changed my life, through a lady who was doing retreats. I followed her, listened to her talk about God in a way that I hadn't heard before. Because I grew up in the church, been going to church since I was in the womb. Grew up Sunday school, go do all of that, vacation Bible school, everything. My brother became a pastor. Then he left preaching. And but he helped me to know the Lord, you know, because he was around my age. So it felt different when my brother told me about God. I'm like, okay, I get it.
It's relatable.
But this woman was talking about God in a way that really expanded my thinking and my mind. And so I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to serve her. I was like, but she don't even know me. I said, but God, I have to, I gotta knock this. He says, okay, that's what I want you to do. I want you to reach out to her, and I want you to serve her like you're getting paid $1 million. Just do what I tell you to do.
That is so crazy. I don't know why that made my nose tingle.
He says, you know, you taught for all them years. You know how to develop curriculums. You know how to take teach people stuff. So I'm like, okay. I tell her that. She said, you know, I've been really needing somebody to help me with that. And I've been wanting to go to her retreats, but they cost so much. So I was like, man. So I started helping her. And she says to me one day, she says, you know what? I think you need to come out here. Could you come out here? And I said, well, you know, eventually I will. I said, but right now I don't have the money for that. She was like, well, I didn't ask you to pay for nothing. So she literally, we did a Now Faith Challenge. And we started it in August. And if you know Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. She says, by November 1st, God is going to bless you. That's 11:1. So I'm like, okay. I'm going to write this
like
down.
Like, what he tell
I'm
you?
I'm going to write it down. And 11:1 comes and nothing happens. I'm like, oh, okay. But we just keep trusting. And then we're corporate fast, and that's even more powerful. So she hits me up, and she says, I want you to come out here. I'm going to get your plane ticket. I said, okay. And she's like, yeah, I want you to come out here, and I want you to, you know, help and continue to do what you've been doing. Your plane ticket is for January 11th, which is still 11-1. So I left 11-1. I mean, January 11th. And I came out to LA and I served. I served. I listened. And I served. Women who came from all walks of life came and talked about things they couldn't even talk to their husbands, their mothers, anybody with. And so then that time came up. So let me tell y'all this. I had $20. I find out one of my friends said, hey, Issa got this thing. A sip with Issa Rae. And I was like, oh, it's in Englewood. Oh, child, I'm all the way out here in Sherman Oaks. That's too daggone far. Mm-hmm. I ain't got no money for that. Them Uber, you know, prices mm-hmm. crazy. God said, shut up, because you'll take that money and you'll go and you'll buy this and you'll buy that. Mm-hmm. You're going, buy the ticket, mm-hmm. bought the ticket. My other friend that made lots of friends through this whole retreat with women. And she says, oh, girl, I'll come get you because mm-hmm. I want you to come over and we can do this. I was like, okay, girl. She's like, yeah, then I can just take you over there and drop you off. I said, like, okay, girl, that's where I'm going. Yeah, perfect. I go. Now, mind you, y'all, I'm not in the industry at all. I'm just here to serve. Mm-hmm. God says, serve, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm in there with people talking about, child, they talking about this at the WGA, this is going on. I'm going, I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm just a fan of Issa Rae. I'm just a fan. And at the time, Lena Waithe was being interviewed. I said, I love Lena, you know, mm-hmm. love what she's doing. Because I had watched a web series that she did. And so we're there, God says, you're going to speak. I said, no, I can't speak because I don't even work in this industry. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm going to say to these folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He says, no, you're going to speak. So they came time for Q&A. I got my hand like this.
Like I'm being obedient, but I'm kind of.
They
don't
see me. They don't see me.
Hey, I did what you told me. You know.
I had my hand up. They didn't see
me. Right. There's a woman sitting next to me, which I wish to God I knew her name to this day because I would reach out and find her. Denise Davis, who works with Issa, is walking around with a microphone, and she's picking that one, and I'm like, yes, she ain't come over here. Mm. The girl next to me, she had her hand up right here. She's sitting right next
you
to me.
You always need that one
She
person.
Had her hand up, because they were like, this is the last question. But you didn't know her? Did not know her from a soul. Literally, the woman's going around, everybody, last question. She goes to another girl. I'm like, oh, yep, that's it for me. Yeah. She's like, you had your hand up.
You done had your hand up. Here.
She literally that loud.
I love that.
She comes over. I says, I don't really have a question. I have a comment, because I don't know what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't know what I have to say.
I don't know. I'm just going to comment. So she gives me the microphone. And God just spoke out of me. Mm-hmm. I poured into both of them. I don't know what I said. So I'm like, keep your head, I don't know, keep your head up, keep praying, keep pushing, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the crazy part is, Lena remembers me on Instagram. She says, what you doing? I said nothing. She was like, you know how to do script coverage? Yep, I ain't know what the hell it was.
Googling,
she
definition
says,
of script coverage.
Can you do script coverage for me? Sure. Started working for Lena.
Mm.
That's how I'm in the seat.
And the rest, ooh, not that's how I'm in the seat.
Wow.
Jesus.
Paid my dues. Served.
That's it. Served.
Served every way through.
That's why I did this to Megan.
She said, that do is, that. Okay, that I'm going to do that.
But literally, that's how Megan lives her life.
Yeah.
Literally. I learned, literally, servant spirit. I never heard or comprehended that until I met Megan.
God said.
That's how she lives her life, no matter what it is.
Yeah. He said, you don't have to be perfect. I'll perfect you through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you don't need me. All this. If you got it all together already, then you don't need me.
Yep.
But if you don't, you keep coming back to me. Yep. This is the source.
Yep.
He got me in this position. I will forever serve him because of that. It changed. I came to that woman, got clean cold turkey. Didn't do no clinic.
Never again.
Get out my face. I was in a place where I ain't know nobody. What you thinking about other than surviving? Like, please.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, how am I going to whatever? Yeah. Forget a dad going Percocet. Like, I need to figure out.
So you just stopped.
When you
started working for her. Yeah.
That is.
Came out here and served. That servant
spirit, I learned that from her.
Like, I fully believe that. Like, if you don't know what to do.
Next.
You don't know what the plans are. Amen. You don't know what the blueprint look like. Go somewhere and serve. And like you said, he will perfect his gifts when you serve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you go into it with a servant's heart, which means that you are fully serving, you're not, if it was me in that position, I would have done
this much longer.
Oh, they're talking to me crazy. I'm going to just be late because they late.
Listen.
You got to have a servant's heart because what you are serving is not who you're serving. I serve him.
Yeah.
And if the instruction is to serve that because I serve him,
then
I'm serving this with a pure heart. And in doing that, I open myself up, to be perfected, pruned, developed.
Amen.
Right? And he puts you in position to be and manifest yourself in the way that he called you to be in this world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you have to have because you're always going to need to serve somewhere.
In some way, shape, or form.
And your gift is a service.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a gift. And you can't, a gift is meant to be given.
It is. You can't hoard that.
You can't hold that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's selfish.
That is a major, like, that is a major thing for me.
Mm-hmm. And just like you always say, when you don't know what do you say? When you don't know what to do next, go back to the last
thing. Just do the last thing God told you to do.
Yeah.
Like, and for me, it's always serve. Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Even if I struggle with depression. Yep. I need to go serve something else. Because I remember someone saying depression is thinking about yourself way too much.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, you're thinking about yourself way too damn much. Wow. Like, go out here.
Yourself, your problems, you're this, you're that.
I'm sad, I'm this, I'm that, this happened to me.
Go somewhere.
And serve.
And serve somebody.
Because I bet you'd be distracted from that.
Every time, it takes me right out of it. Yeah. Oh, let me, I'm good.
Yeah.
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 That is, man. Yeah.
Go ahead. What would you
I'm just like, man, that is just, and what is also very inspiring to me, I don't know why, like, proof of concept keeps playing in my mind for other reasons, but that keeps playing in my mind. She said God told me to draw for 30 days and post it. Tabitha said God told me to get on Facebook
and cook on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook. Just every day.
She said, I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. She said, I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. For what?
She's like, ain't nobody watching. It's 10 people on this live.
He said, do it.
Yep.
Batch said,
yep.
I don't know why.
Woo!
But
God told me to do stand-up.
Just do that.
Just do, he said, wow. I said, just so why are you doing stand-up right now? He said, I don't know why.
That's what I feel led to do.
He said, I don't know why.
And I'm telling you, proof of concept.
Yeah.
Proof of concept, y'all. I don't care what has happened in your life that has caused you not to believe that God is real. That's proof of concept.
Right, right,
It's proven.
It works.
And most of the time, I tell you, you know it's God because you really don't want to do it. You like, Jesus Christ.
The last thing I want to do.
Yeah.
Because when it's ego, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm ready for this.
Yeah, I look good.
He puts you in your comfort zone, please.
It's out of your comfort zone. It's out of your comfort zone.
And doing that puts you in a position to always be practicing serving because in your gift, you're serving.
Yes.
You're never not. Yeah, you don't escape the service.
No matter what.
As a showrunner, no doing stuff that people are like, the PA do that. I don't care.
Yeah.
Do you know that I need to serve? Mm-hmm. If there is opportunity that something needs to be done or fixed, I'm here to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a woman of God, just period. Like, I just always want to, it keeps me grounded.
You can
be grounded and in the air at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very important for me to continue to keep that. Because when I get off that alignment, I can tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's off.
Life feels a little harder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something's missing.
I feel everything. I'm snapping. What? Yep. Hold up, girl.
Yeah.
You're feeling yourself.
Yep.
Stop.
Yep.
You know.
That's major. And you're in that moment of you serving in where he told you to serve, you were also serving your future self. You know what I'm saying? So stop looking at it as if this, like, that's an investment into your future self.
You're planting that seed.
Because you've sowed seeds of service, you ain't never going to have to worry about finding the right people to serve your vision.
Right.
Because you serve somebody else's.
Right. Right.
That opens you up
for the blessings and
the abundance and the opportunity. It opens you up to that because you've already sowed that seed
and the relationships
of service.
You built along that
and
way.
How God hides you in that.
Man.
Oh, God, he protects you.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you don't want to be exposed too soon because there's still work that he's doing on
in you.
I'm about to.
You know what I'm saying?
This
like
Mike. Oh my God.
No, seriously.
I know.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's because I know you.
Well, they say you don't want anything too soon.
It's because I know you.
You don't want anything too soon. And I'm so glad I didn't even have a taste for what I thought. You know, this is what I say. I want to be this.
Yeah.
I didn't even have a taste for
it. Right.
I just wanted to survive. I wanted to breathe.
Yeah.
I wanted to smile without having to take a pill. I wanted to be able to write to people's heart, to person's heart, mm-hmm. and make them feel what I felt when I was 10. Like, God told me to go back to what you did when you were a kid,
right?
That made you feel good about
and
life.
That's so pure. Mm.
Yep.
Because
yep.
the biggest.
What did you like then when nothing right. else mattered? Bills, relationships,
right?
Love. Yeah. Money,
yeah.
all that, success.
The biggest mistake we make,
what did
I think
you like
it's
then?
The Alchemist. I forgot what book it's in, is that we get to an age where we think that life is over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As an adult.
Yep.
Like, oh, yep. yeah, your yep. life is over yep. now, so just yep. get ready
yep.
to just yep. leave. And that's yep. a lie.
It's a yep. lie.
Like, you can have a second act.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a third act.
yeah.
Every day.
You
it's
can
an opportunity
do whatever
to change
it is.
And shift mm-hmm. and do something
yeah.
different.
Absolutely.
And you said on set when we were talking about your writing, you said you wanted to write what you didn't see on TV.
Oh, yeah.
From Black women. You know,
yeah.
like that narrative that they try to paint of us or...
Absolutely.
You wanted to create what you didn't see
yeah.
on the screen.
Yeah.
And that's what you did with Finding Happy, correct?
Well, the co-creators, Angie and Yaz, when I went to meet with them, which was another thing, that's how I got there was from going to karaoke. Again, another choice that I was not going to go. God says, go to karaoke tonight. I'm like, what? I don't sing in front mm-hmm. of people. But I love karaoke, but mm-hmm. like for other people. Mm-hmm. And I met someone there. I won't say his name.
In these moments, real quick, I want to ask you, do you know it's God speaking to you in that moment or you know it's him after?
Oh, I know it's him because normally it's when I have resistance.
Mm.
Yeah. When mm-hmm. it's all me, Kendrick, I'm controlling as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. But mm-hmm. when it's him, it's like
and you
resistance.
Have
mm-hmm.
I've grown to understand that. Mm-hmm. Before, I used to be like, well, maybe I should, you know.
Got you. Mm-hmm.
But I've learned that there's a book called The War of Art, and it talks about resistance, and that's a sign that you should do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We think, oh, no, we shouldn't. It's like, no, you should.
Okay.
It's like birth, like labor. That's when you're trying to push.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, you're like, no, push through it.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I didn't want to go, but I went and I met somebody there who just happened to be somebody in the industry. We became really good friends and just my brother, you know, mm-hmm. in the entertainment industry. We used to hang out and he would cook dinner. And one day he says, hey, Sad and them got an idea for a show.
Mm.
I'm going to tell them about you.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how I ended up there. At the time, they had a one sheet, Yaz and Angie did, about it was being loosely based on Yaz's
yeah.
life.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And, but her life to me is super entertaining, but it's
Yaz
for a different network.
Yeah,
it's for cable.
It's too crazy.
She said that's for cable.
They ain't gonna play that. You can't even
yeah.
see cuss on back.
I was like, girl, we can't even.
We gotta rewrite that.
I think like one. Thing came, I was able to do that one. I'm not gonna spoil it, but
yeah.
But yeah, and so I took and I said, well, let me TV this up.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept was so interesting to me that a woman gets to the age of reckoning, which is 36, where you start to say, hold on, I don't have this, I don't mm-hmm. have that, I don't have this.
Mm-hmm.
So I create, I think at the time she had another name for her best friend, but I made it her cousin because I said, I love to see cousins.
Mm-hmm.
That like, family.
You know,
yeah, mm-hmm. that family.
Sometimes
bestie,
a cousin is like
yeah.
your first best friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because I didn't grow up with sisters. I grew up with a whole bunch of
extended cousins, 30
boy,
cousins
yeah. and all mm-hmm. that. And so, so I took it and I built it, this world with the moms and the mm-hmm. aunts and everything. And I just wanted it to be something that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into feel good comedy. I grew up like most people watching the Breakfast Club mm-hmm. movies and Sweet 16 Candles mm-hmm. and all those John Hughes movies. I remember watching, I used to just love. And I was like, I want to write that for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
it was
to
such
see somebody
that
writing.
Looks like
you. Yeah,
yeah,
just a regular day.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
the you know just drop into our lives and
yeah.
see how like crazy our mama can be sometimes,
yeah.
or how
yeah.
like my crazy love
yep.
life,
yeah.
like
yep.
just that type of stuff. And that was what I really wanted to do was just humanize our experiences mm-hmm. beyond just the provocative stories
yeah.
or
the sex
politics
kitten,
or
the ghetto mm-hmm. girl,
yeah,
or the
like
loud.
Let's go a little deeper
yeah.
and find out why they're that way. And I really wanted. This is big for me. I wanted to show a Black woman who don't know her magic yet, because that was me.
Because Yaz doesn't. My character in the show doesn't.
She don't know her magic.
She doesn't know how great she is.
You sometimes got it in there, but you like, that. I don't know how to get that out. Mm. Boy, it scares the hell out of you.
You, Jesus.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times that light is so powerful, that's what you're fighting. It ain't the haters. That's easy.
Right.
Like, I'm my biggest hater.
I'm not worried about that. Please.
It's you.
It's me. It's like, so once this pop, though, they're going to be all. I've had major resistance to all of this. I told you I would only do this here. Have this conversation with you.
Kendra was like, I'm come.
Yeah, I'm coming.
I trust you. I trust your platform. I listen to the podcast. I'll come.
It's huge
here.
For me.
Wow. She's like, I'm not going to talk about this anywhere else.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like it's just, there needs to be sacredness.
Yeah.
About when we talk about things. Mm-hmm. And I need to know that you understand that.
Yeah.
Because wherever I walk is sacred and holy ground.
Yeah.
Wherever you walk is sacred and holy ground. And you should be treated as such.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't happen, that's not the ground for me.
Yeah.
This ain't fertile ground. And I've been in several places in this industry and outside of this industry where that soil is not fertile.
Mm. Yeah.
And you trying to make it work and you throwing the seed and it's popping back in your face.
Yep.
Or it's taking your seed and it's dry and don't do nothing with it.
Yep.
Taking everything from you, you know? So it was very important to me that I told it here because I was like, you know, I love what B is doing. And you as well. Like, just, I listen. Mm-hmm. I'm very intuitive and clairvoyant. Mm-hmm. I know. When I saw you, I said, she's the person. Mm. It's her.
Thank you.
She got it in her. I can feel it. The authenticity that you have being yourself is what makes you an amazing actress.
That was at the beginning. I will never forget this. Oh, don't make me cry. You pulled me to the side. You were like, be yourself. Like the first day, I was so in my head. I had all these lines. Mm-mm. I'm number one on the call sheet. She said, I don't care if one take you want to say baby girl. Mm-hmm. If we don't like it, we'll edit it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be you, but you know, B. Yaz.
Yeah.
We don't want you to be B. Simone, but she's like, we hired you because of who, you know.
Yeah. What, I believe you can do it.
I was so like, and then once you gave me that like green light, it was like, all right, it's up.
Did you know when you wrote it, you wanted B to be Yaz?
No. Okay. Mm-hmm. I never think about who's going to play.
You just
the
write
person.
The story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's really me pouring myself. I become every character. Mm. My daughter tell you, I'm probably hell to be around when I'm writing. Because she's like, well, who are you today? Like, you flip it. But I literally wrote like it's me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because one thing that teaching taught me was how to size up a room first. Because kids going to try you as soon as you walk in there. But also to have compassion for all walks of life.
Yeah.
And so whenever I go to a character, I'm not coming with judgment. I'm coming with understanding and going through that predicament of going through, you know, addiction and failure.
Yeah.
you find out the people used to make fun of, girl, you just like them.
Ooh.
You know, you like, oh, you was over there
Jesus.
Laughing at that one and us. When
you so worried about everybody else's vice and sin.
Look at you.
Ooh,
look at you now, girl.
That was that.
Ooh, but the thing is that your truth.
Yeah.
And that goes for anyone.
Yeah.
Is that. The more you are truthful with yourself, the easier it is for you to show up in this world as in any capacity.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you can't, ain't authentic there. And I knew you had a truth. I said, that's what we need.
Thank you.
Is that honesty. Yeah. Because when you get the words, you're going to understand it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was tons of moments I had on that set. Like, I felt like I was Yaz.
Yeah.
I've been through, you know, her similar situations. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, I've been there. I've been through that. Or I felt that. And that's why, like, we could talk about finding happy. But I wanted you to give your backstory.
Yeah.
At first, she was just going to come on the show. We were going to have our podcast. She's like, I'll come on and talk about finding happy. I'm like, do you want to share your story, though? Mm-hmm. Because, yes, you're a Hollywood writer. We about to have the number one show on Bounce.
I know that's right.
We going to have a season two. Like, okay. We're manifesting all of that. We're going to, you're doing all of that. But what it took for you to get there is important for me, for the, you know, for people to hear that.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you're this now, but It was a lot to get to that point.
It absolutely was. Because I wasn't living my truth. But thank God that he allowed me to see me the way he sees me.
Yeah.
Because that was the untruth that
I
had.
Do you see yourself like that now?
Yeah.
Fully?
But I do still am like.
Okay. Okay.
Because there are things that, you know, as you use vices, as you speak to yourself very unkindly, mm-hmm. you start to believe it.
You start to, mm-hmm. yeah.
So there's an unwiring. Yep, there's an unlearning. Yep, when I came out here, God said, okay, first, you got to unlearn a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you really believe.
Backtrack. Mm-hmm.
And I need to get that out of you. Mm-hmm. And so that's the truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because what I want people to understand is I wasn't all together mm-hmm. and God gave me another chance. Mm-hmm. He can do the same thing for you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know it all. Yeah. You don't have to get it all right. And He's like, no, just come to me
yep. mm-hmm.
and lay your burdens.
You made that choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I made that choice. Yeah. I said, if you please, I will do whatever.
Yeah.
And he knows everything that he told me to do. I'm like, okay.
That's why it's so important to share. Yes. I feel like share your story because...
And as much as you're comfortable with, I was like,
well, no, I'm just saying in general, not just Kendra.
Anybody,
because,
or as much as you can, because it's so imperative to other people's healing. I feel like,
healing,
and yours,
and the hope that you can get on the other side
of, it.
Of
yes.
that,
you
like,
can.
Ma'am,
even yep, though you went through an addiction and moving and coming back, and your parents being sick and. Fighting addiction again and
surgery
then
and,
doing yep. this and doing
and having a daughter
right being a
that's
mom.
Watching the whole time like what?
All of that and how you kept just staying the course even though you were going through tragic things
yeah
but you just remained yeah. you know what I'm saying and yep. how now
yep
you got you're in front of Issa Rae and Lena mm-hmm. and you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
people need to hear that because there are so many Ooh. People who give up.
Yep. yep.
And Damn. Think about
yep.
you are a storyteller and you going through all your experiences has led you to be able to write stories that people can now see mm-hmm. and
relate to.
Mm-hmm. And what that is, because what it did for you, you're also creating that for somebody else, right?
Absolutely.
How shows inspired you and it made you Absolutely. Feel some type of way or it created a space for you to want to create
space
for
spark
us,
in you.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now you go through all your stuff and mm-hmm. now you're able to do the exact same thing mm-hmm. for somebody else. But think about the people who stop.
Yes.
And then when they stop, mm-hmm. who is that?
Affecting.
Listen.
You know wow. what I'm saying? My mom says all the time, Miles Monroe is one of my mom's favorite Come preachers. On. I love a Miles Monroe, and he's like,
yes.
he was in your face. Like, he would hurt your feelings, basically.
Yeah.
But he said the richest place in the world is a graveyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's where all the lost potential, all the
ideas.
Lost dreams, all the die.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not a grave, but it's internally
yeah.
giving up and
yeah.
letting that dream yeah. die.
Yes. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's hard or because yeah. it hurt me or yep. because this didn't work out or because 10 people told me no or because
yep.
this deal fell through or mm-hmm.
yep.
and we stopped.
Yep.
But you never stopped.
Yep.
You just said, all right, I'm going to find somewhere to serve. All right,
yep.
I'm going to do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Not only did you not stop, but you served
yeah.
in that. That's
major.
People need to hear
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Major.
That's important to yeah. hear.
I yeah. think that's. Posture of surrender is super mm-hmm. important. It's one of the hardest things, but yet the easiest thing to do
yeah.
is to surrender.
Yeah.
I remember I shared with you at the promo shoot that Miles Monroe quote that I loved that saved my life was, if you don't know the purpose of a thing, abuse is inevitable.
Mm.
And I remember saying like, wow, if you don't know the purpose, you could abuse any and everything.
And people.
You know?
Lord.
And that.
From your gift to.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
From your gifts
yeah.
to every. Exactly. Yeah. And it's a whole lot of people pimping gifts out here too.
Yeah.
That's another conversation.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah. But yeah, like I really, truly am so grateful that God, I'm telling y'all, God called me. That's not a popular thing to talk about.
Yeah.
Because mostly everything now is, well, I made this decision
yeah.
or I manifested.
Yeah.
I'm going to be real with y'all. I ain't manifest nothing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be clean and I wanted to be happy. I was like, God, please, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You gave me these gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'll do it. But just tell me what to do because I don't know. I got lost.
Yeah.
And that's something that I want to just share with people because...
But I feel like you did maybe subconsciously, like that your faith you put your faith with works.
Oh, yeah.
That is manifestation.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, literally believe. I just, God, whatever you tell me to do, I want to do, I'll do
absolutely.
It to be clean. He mm-hmm. was telling you those instructions, and you did it.
Yeah. yeah.
You
but
are
not
obedient.
In this new age of manifesting.
Right. Like, oh, manifest,
I just
manifest.
Thought of it. Yeah. yeah.
Not
I got
that,
my dream.
No. Yeah. I manifested it. It's like, all right, we're just throwing that word around yeah. now. But literally, yeah. like, by definition, well, my definition, the faith yeah. with the works. Mm-hmm. Just speaking it, not knowing the how, not knowing the when, just like knowing it's coming. Mm-hmm, yeah. And maybe you didn't even know that at that moment, but
oh, God, no.
you just was like, look, you know.
Mm-hmm. I said yes.
Yeah. You
I
gave
that,
God
I,
your yes.
Yeah, I said that to Braylon all the time. Like when I first started working for her, she would be nervous about something or I would be like, man, just submit your yes.
Just give
listen.
God your yes.
yes.
Yep.
I learned from the retreat, the yep. woman would always say, they were like, okay, can you pray? And the prayer was just yes and amen. That's it. I'm gonna do all of that. yes, amen. That's real though.
I'm gonna do all
God
that.
Yo, yes.
Yep.
I don't
yes.
need to do all
amen.
That.
Whatever you
he
tell us to do, the
else.
Answer is yes.
Yeah. I love that.
Yep.
Yes, I amen. Love that. I'm like, oh, okay. Because I come from the South, girl. You better get a little more like. Mm. I need more words. you need to get.
Yes.
You know what I'm
yes
saying? This is poetry.
Amen.
But she was like, yes and amen.
That's dope.
I was like, oh, okay.
That's dope.
She's mm-hmm. like, it's just that simple.
It's that simple.
So the audience Man. Is going to watch Finding Happy on September 24th, mm-hmm. which is this weekend.
Yes. Is the lead.
I am the
Queen,
lead.
Yes.
Just real quick before we get out of here and get to what we know for sure, what we're saying no to for sure. What can they expect on Finding
oh,
Happy?
Oh, wow.
I just want to hear it from the writer's point because you created this story. Yes, I acted it out, but what do you want them to get from Yaz's experience in life as a Black woman who is maneuvering through her career,
yeah.
love, and self-love, you
right.
know?
I hope that they can see a piece of themselves.
Yep.
I think everybody
I think they
will.
Will. I mm-hmm. think they will.
I think everybody will. Because, you know, like I said, it was important for me to create a character who, she doesn't know her magic. You know, and I know Black girl magic is a very popular, you know, term that we throw around and, you know, Black girls rock and all of that. And those things are great. Mm-hmm. But it was important for me to show somebody that you would consider like an underdog.
Yep.
Like mm-hmm. I've always loved to be underestimated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I'm that person that people would never know who I knew or what I was capable of.
Yeah.
Like, yes, please underestimate
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
so I
am
you.
Going to
yeah.
blow your freaking mind when I let this rip.
Blow your mind.
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was truly like, honestly, like I just, with Yaz, you'll see like, this is somebody who just got it and don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she don't know it.
I don't remember if it was Jackie, because there's multiple Black women directors.
Yes.
Like one did the first three, then yes. the second three. You know, we switch directors every three episodes.
Yep.
I think it was Jackie. I don't know if this is right, but she pulled me to the side to work on a scene, and I was like, I'm so mad at Yaz. Like, she's like, you can't be mad at your character.
Mm-mm.
Be her.
That was Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Was it Jackie?
Because mm-hmm.
I was mad that she was making these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is she, you know, I started mm-hmm. to like, don't do this. Mm. This scene is pissing me off. Like, why is she? Because, you know, she was like, don't be mad at her. Be her. Because
mm-hmm.
you've experienced that
yeah.
some way, shape, or form
life.
In your
yeah,
life.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
pull from that. Don't be mad at her. Mm. Understand her. Because
yeah.
you've been there. You know? So
yeah.
I think the viewer will really relate to her on different levels,
yeah.
in different ways. Yeah.
yeah. I think it's a kind of woman, and these are women of the South, which I just... It warmed my heart to be able to write because we've never seen a Southern comedy from Black women before.
Mm. All Black women
directors. All Black women. Yeah. I just thought it was imperative to show that because a lot of times you come from this belief that as a Black woman, your love is outside of you.
Mm.
You know,
explain that.
Like it's something that you're always giving to others.
Oh, got you, got you, got you.
Or
got you,
waiting
got you.
For them to give
yeah.
to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's always, it's not quite... in a place where you completely are self-actualizing, you know where your love comes from. You see it with the mom that she's, well, I don't want to blow it, but the mom is still dealing with
yeah.
her own self-love.
Yep.
And Yaz, you see where she gets it from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You see it with all of them. You're finding love in food. You're finding
mm-hmm.
love
literally.
In your career.
Yep.
Because mm-hmm. let's be real, you can go out here and you can work yourself to death. And at the end of the day,
you look up.
you look up, mm-hmm. you stress, your health is bad, mm-hmm. you know, you got high blood pressure, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. everything that you wanted, you've kind of like lost focus on mm-hmm. it, you know what
Submerging
I'm saying?
Submerging yourself in your work.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a distraction or escape, yeah. you know what I'm saying? I really like to really write to those issues that universally we all can relate
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether you're a man or a woman, black, white, whatever, yeah. it doesn't matter. Yeah. We all can relate to that.
Yeah.
We all can relate to being at a job that we don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we at have, one point.
And,
yeah.
we have been there and we're like, I don't want to go in yeah. here today. And you've made a career out of a job that you don't like. Mm. I have been there.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And people telling you at work, girl, you're so good at what you like. Why are you mm. here? Mm. I used to get that all the time. Why are you here?
Mm.
I used to be like, what you mean? Why am I here?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So just speaking to all the things that we talk about, mm-hmm. and I hadn't seen it on television.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, you could sit around with your girlfriends, Polly, and talk about a million things that you ain't never seen on TV.
Right.
That so many people can relate to.
Right.
Right.
And that's what I really want to bring to the page and to the screen is just seeing and hearing things. And I do play devil's advocate. I'm going to be real with you. Women are not always right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We're not.
It's funny, too, because I feel like that aligns so much with our podcast and what, like, our thing is like creating something that we don't really see.
Yeah. Or we didn't have.
Yeah. And having and bringing those real conversations.
Yeah.
The stuff that we talk about
yep.
before there were cameras and a
behind
production
closed
and a
doors.
Team and
yeah.
we were having these same conversations.
Yeah.
You know, on our own. And we were like, man, people need
to hear this. Somebody need to hear
at least hear that people are having that conversation.
Yeah. That's why I love y'all show. Because
yeah.
I was like, the DNA is already here.
Mm.
You're having those conversations that people are like, man, we were talking about that the other day.
Right.
you
right.
know?
Right.
I didn't
right.
know that. People talk
right.
about that too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I really was like, oh yeah.
Dope.
It Absolutely. Opens up the conversation and also opens up an opportunity for us to be empathetic of one another because we're all
Absolutely.
Experiencing similar things.
Absolutely.
And that's what I love about the show when I seen snippets and then when mm-hmm. Bea was on set and,
mm-hmm.
you know, hearing her talk about it is like it really opened up this space for us to be, to see ourselves
mm-hmm.
and to be empathetic mm-hmm. to other people's experience mm-hmm. as well. And so that's what I picked up. I haven't even seen it. I haven't seen one episode yet. But
oh, girl.
I can't wait.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yay!
Thanks for coming
thanks
on
for
and sharing.
Thank you.
Man, that was so
thanks for
good.
Sharing your story.
So
thank you.
I was the whole time I'm like, you don't have to say anything you don't want to say.
I know. She's like, you don't have to say. I'm like, girl, God already
I'm
got
like,
me.
Mm-hmm. Share your story.
I came
yeah.
this far. This is a piece of cake, girl.
Thank
please.
You for opening up and sharing it. And I know somebody out there, it touched somebody.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
We always end the episode with what are you saying no to for sure and what do you know for sure? Like N-O,
what
like a
saying?
Hard no, for
no
sure.
To?
And then
oh.
what do I know for sure?
Oh, playing small. I'm
mm-hmm.
saying no to that.
Mm.
Yeah. A lot of times you can be in the valley so long that you think that hanging out with the turtles is where it's at.
Mm.
But if you a giraffe, you're like, baby girl, no.
Y'all don't even know what's up here.
You ain't, your neck ain't supposed to be on the ground.
right.
So,
sit straight.
Stand up.
Yeah. Let the people see. So,
yeah.
I got palm trees there for a reason. What
yeah,
you doing?
But, I love that.
But yeah, just playing small.
Mm-hmm.
And
what do you know for
what
sure?
What I know for sure is God is real.
Okay.
I hate to say, I know it's cliche.
Yeah.
But
he
is.
Real
yeah.
He is still out here working
yeah.
and doing his thing. And I'm grateful to be in this position. And I'm grateful for you guys. Thank you for creating this platform.
Oh my gosh, what?
So many lives are being changed. From the very beginning, before I even... When I was on set, I was like, girl, y'all over there doing God's work.
like, we launched during filming.
Yeah, I was like, y'all doing God's work. What did y'all do? Like, child, this is amazing.
We were filming mm-hmm. Finding Happy when we released, like, the first couple mm-hmm. episodes of the podcast.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you know for sure?
What do I know for sure? What do I know for sure? Well, with hearing your story, I know every day is an opportunity to change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day you wake up is an opportunity. God is giving you a chance to, like you said, start over, reinvent
mm-hmm.
the wheel,
mm-hmm.
start from zero. Whatever that is, whatever that looks like for you, every day is an opportunity to
Absolutely.
Change your circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you make that choice. And I know it's not easy sometimes, whether it's addiction, whether it's a relationship, whether it's yourself, whatever
mm-hmm.
that is, you have an opportunity to not
right.
stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a choice and an opportunity to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for sure. What am I saying no to for sure? Da, 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 da. No to for sure. I was gonna say something stupid.
What? What did I say?
Nothing. Childish. Thing. I'm saying no to not giving God my yes. Mm. Just continuously giving him the yes. Oh, like, wow. Yes, amen.
I love that.
Smile lines.
I need to fill out. What do I know for sure? Man, I have so many thoughts and feelings after listening to you share your story. But what I know for sure is that serving can be the method to unlocking your purpose or finding that purpose. It can definitely be a tool to do that. Proof of concept.
Yeah.
it works and it always works. And what am I saying no to for sure? I'm saying no to, I'm going to say no to resisting.
Resistance, yeah.
What I fully feel like God has put me in here to do because I'm scared. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Saying no to fear.
Yeah.
That fear.
And that, or just the resistance, like practicing not, you know how she said she know it was God because there was a resistance, not having a resistance to it.
Just, okay, it's God, go.
Saying, just responding.
Yeah.
And putting myself in
a tug and war.
Yeah, just to respond with a yes.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Without, you know how we do with our kids.
Yeah.
When I say, I need you to swiftly move.
Do it.
As caretakers, that's what you're equipped to do.
Yeah.
Is to know this is what I need to do to get this done. The kids do this. Okay, I make sure I do that. Da, 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 da. But now God is looking at you like you his child.
What I tell you to do.
Do what I tell you to do.
And I need you to swiftly move.
Yeah. Move.
When I say get up,
get
up.
We gotta go.
Like that. You know what I mean? When I feel that, I want to not have a resistance, but I want to have a response. So that's what I'm saying no to, for sure.
Can I say this, though? There are things that has to come through you that can't come through nobody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember a pastor saying, have you ever seen something on TV or whatever? And you're like, dang, I had that same idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because God is no respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. What he wants done on this earth will be done.
Period.
So either you're going to be the vessel that it comes through, or he's going to give it to somebody else. And how upset would I be with myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you got all that deliciousness in you that's going to make it beautiful.
Yeah. That gives.
And
else
got to do it.
Yeah. 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 I love that. Mm. I love that.
And when he said that, it touched me. I said, oh, yeah, let me keep saying yes.
Go ahead and use my gift before it gets taken away.
Yeah. Yeah. What you don't use, you lose.
Yeah.
What you don't use, you lose.
Thank you, Kendra.
It's like PTO. Work
corporate. Not PTO.
I was like,
PTO. You're right, though. If you didn't use it, you lose. It
doesn't roll over.
It doesn't roll over. Oh, my God. It don't roll over.
And on that note, we love you.
Love
thank
y'all.
You, Kendra. Thank you, KFS much. Family, for watching.
Amen.
This was a great episode, y'all.
Make sure you guys watch Finding Happy September
24th.
Saturday.
On the Bounce Network.
On the Bounce Network. And where can you get the Brown Sugar app?
Brown Sugar app.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can even DirecTV.
It has that Bounce.
Yeah, I just got DirecTV app, and that has Bounce on it as well. So,
Spectrum.
September 24th, Finding Happy, Bounce TV. Let's fucking go. Thank y'all for watching.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Know For Sure podcast. Make sure you keep the conversation going and use our hashtag KnowForSurePod.
Yes, we want to see you guys share the hashtag KnowForSurePod on all social media platforms. We want to keep the conversation going.
Keep it going. Go to the website KnowForSurePod.com and follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter, KnowForSurePod.